The first bowl is loathsome sores. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Remember the people who hadn't had been pulled. Okay? So now these people that had worshipped the beast, that had, and that's going to be a lot of people, by the way. Unfortunately, a lot of people are going to fall. The beast is the ruler of the earth, and he's got a prophet who's doing all these wonders and miracles, right? There's going to be a lot of people that are still going to be left, unfortunately. And now they're all covered in sores, foul and loathsome sores. Then the second angel poured out his bowl in the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Do you understand? This is horrifying, but no one who trusts in the Lord is here. So, we know that this is way in the future, and we're way gone. I hope so. The blood as of a dead man. This is not even like normal blood. What does that mean? It means it's rotten, dead person blood. Have you smelled dead bodies? Or dead animals, let's say. So this is not even normal blood. The sea turning to blood would be bad. But this is the sea turning to dead man blood. Rotten, stench, corpse blood, and every living thing in the sea dies. Then the rest of the water. So the third angel pours out his bowl on the rivers and springs. Just in case you thought, okay, I don't live near the ocean, I'll be all right. I got a spring. We got Manitou. Okay, we got springs. No. The springs of water coming out of the earth, the fresh, clean water of the earth, the rivers and springs, they also become blood. And the angel dealing with those waters says, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." There's nothing left on the planet to drink but rotten blood at this point. Do not be here for that. Whatever you do. And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Basically, at this point in time, the judgments are coming down at the very end, and the final judgments, and the angels and other people are recognizing the truth of this. Because what did you have to do to be left? You had to deny him over and over and over again. You had to deny him during the time that you heard the gospel. You had to deny him when you saw the rapture happen. You had to deny him when the locust flew and chewed on you and stung you. You had to deny him when angels flew over your head and said, "Seriously, get with the program." You had to still say, "I am too cool for God." I mean, you had to be so hard and so dark that this is what you get. And that's rough, but that's the way it is. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. The power was given to him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat. They blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent or give him glory. So that's how hard they are. The people that are left had every clue and every warning in the world, turned their back every single time, and now when they're covered in boils and they're drinking blood and sun flares scorch their bodies and crackle their skin, they're like, "I'm still not doing it. I'm still not doing it. I'm still not going to worship you, God." That's how hard these people are. Fifth bowl. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Remember, the beast was in charge, right? These are the people that worship the beast. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. In some translations, it's talking about chewing on their tongues or chewing their tongues off. Because the pain is so bad, they're like biting on their... They can't even take the amount of pain they're in from the burning and the boils. They blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and yet they did not repent. We're going to bring it home now, because we're going back to the beginning of everything, right? Euphrates, remember the description of where Eden was with the four rivers, two of which are the Tigris and Euphrates. We're coming all the way back home. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. What's that about? That's about that final battle. There's rivers in the way of this final battle that are disappearing. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. They are the spirits of demons performing signs. What is this? These are the spirits of the demons in the beast, in the dragon, the beast, and the prophet. And they're coming out like frogs, and they're performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world, and they gather them to battle of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, now this is just, now that stops, right? Boom, the whole world is about to battle in this incredible situation we've just described. The great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together in the place, in Hebrew, Armageddon. Armageddon. Okay. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. This is stuck in there. Right? So why would that passage be stuck in the middle of this description? Frog, demons, and Euphrates dried up and all this stuff. That is Jesus, God, saying one last little thing. I'm coming as a thief. You're not going to know. You're not going to know, so you better watch and keep your stuff together. Keeping your garments is referring to how to be priestly and have the white garments and everything's beautiful. Basically, keeping yourself together. Keeping your soul right, keeping yourself focused on the Lord, keeping yourself in the Word. If you don't keep yourself right, you end up in this situation. And how are you going to walk naked? Well, you just got your clothes burned off, for starters. Mm-hmm. You're covered in boils. And they're going to be gathered together in the final seventh bowl. Then the seventh angel pours out his bowl into the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake. And such a mighty and great earthquake has had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. We'll get to that next time about Babylon. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone the weight of a talent. Big heavy hailstone. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. So we've had a plague of hail. We've had the biggest earthquake in the history of the world, splitting nations and cities. We've got, before that, rivers drying up. Before that, darkness and gnawing yourself, your tongue, because of pain. We got being scorched. We've got waters turning to blood, sea turning to blood, and loathsome sores. And this is what awaits all the people that still will not turn to God at the very end. Now, when we continue next time, we're going to be dealing with the specifics. The Scarlet Woman, the Beast, the Final Battle, things like that. We'll be dealing with the specifics. But we've got a very clear idea of what's happened, okay? And there were these sets of seven. There was seven seals, a lot of which were historic. Then as we get into the final seals, the end times begin. Then we've got Revelation 7 as a break where we're pulled out. Then we've got the trumpets beginning, and now we got judgments on the earth. But these judgments aren't final judgments. They're not things like everyone burns or everyone, all the water turns to blood. They're not that. They're big, they're scary, you know, demonic locusts, etc. But they're not the final judgments. So they could be called, your trumpets could be called warning judgments, right? And we talk about trumpets. They're doing the Feast of Trumpets thing tomorrow night. We talk about the trumpets and the final trumpet being the end and the final trumpet playing. So that final trumpet is signaling the end, the return of Jesus, the end of the world, the big stuff happening in those trumpets. And then we have that break in the middle, which kind of summarizes everything. Here's where the beasts are coming from. Here's what they're doing. Here's why they're doing it, because the dragon is trying to fight against the church because it can't catch Jesus, so it's going to hurt Jesus' followers. And here's how it's going to hurt him in the final ways with these beasts. And here's what's going to happen. He's going to give the power of all the nations of the world to this great beast, just like he wanted to do with Jesus. And then Jesus is going to come back, and there's going to be a final battle. But before all that, there's going to be a final lockdown time. We've got all the original rapture folks in heaven. We've got the people that came during the time of the beast. They're now on the sea of glass, which is before the throne. It's still heaven, right? And they've described that sea of glass and fire being before the throne, before, right, in the early part of Revelation. So they're protected. They're protected in heaven too. So all the people that follow God, but the people that are left, that followed the beast, that got his mark, that didn't listen, get hit and hit and hit. They still refuse. They still refuse. Not one person in the seven bowls goes to heaven. Remember, heaven is shut down? And they refuse. They all refuse. So don't feel bad about the one random person who got caught on earth and was actually good, because that person isn't there. Nobody goes to heaven during the seven bowls. The heaven is closed. And everyone refuses. Every living creature in the sea dies. And they're still like, nay. You know, everyone that knows, all the people that are holy, whether it's the angels or whether it's the other voices in heaven, everyone else is saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. This is their just due. They spilt the blood of the saints and the prophets, and now you give them blood to drink. Man, oh man. But that doesn't make it scary or hard to understand. Right? It's not confusing. It's a pretty simple little set of events. I mean, it's not little and it's not simple, but it's a set of events that flow. But what has Revelation done that's the most important thing for us? Every single time, it confirms the location of the saints. It confirms the location of when something bad is going on, where are we? Or our great-great-grandkids or whatever, whenever the time frame is. Where are the people of God? The first people of God are pulled. The people of God through the tribulation are pulled. And no one's left that's a person of God. And then the final bowl judgments. Pouring out bowls on the sun and all the water. So this is an amazing book, right? Not only is it making sense as it flows, but it is, I mean, that is a dire warning. And so you present that to somebody, and what do? They probably, you know, if they're not believers, they go, yeah, whatever. They're doing the same stuff these guys are doing. You take this passage, you get an appointment with the head of the Atheist League, you go to his office, you sit down and say, seriously, dude, take a look. He's like, yeah, whatever. I think that's exactly what they're doing. Said, I don't know what to do, man. I'm telling you. I don't know what to tell you. If you don't listen, this is it. So, they're blaspheming God the whole time of the bowls. Over and over again. Multiple times it says they're blaspheming God. They're still cursing God and won't turn to Him. And won't even ask for a break. Like, won't even say, hey, these boils are rough. Can you just cut me some slack, God, please? They won't even do that. That's a hard, hard, crazy people, evil people. You know, I don't know the number, but, you know, obviously these people are in the clutches of the beast, right? That's the whole point. So a lot of them may have demons. A lot of them may be either advised by demons or possessed by demons. I mean, there's a lot of evil. We got most of the good has been taken out of the world already. So you've got what amounts to an evil world. And so that's all that's really left, which means when you judge it, you get rid of all the evil, right? That's what he's about to do to wipe it clean. But we made it through 15 and 16 tonight so that we can get prepared for the final end. But like I said, don't worry. It's good news. The good guys win. Spoiler alert. And the bad guys lose bad. They don't just lose, like, get killed. That would be easy. No, they get boils and, like, crackly skin and just, like, drink blood while you're sitting in your cave with your crackling skin and your boils. I mean, they don't lose, like, lightly.
100-pound hailstones falling out of heaven would probably get your
100-pound hailstones. That's what it says in the... 100-pound hailstone. You know, I've been hit by a golf ball one once. I thought I was going to die. Like that thing, wow! Knock. I mean, you can get hit by some big hail, and it'll not only dent your car, it can knock you off your feet. It can scare the heck out of you. And multiply that, you know, 100-pound, like, you know, lead basketballs smacking you in the face. I mean, at reentry speed.
I've got a sack of Sacrete in my garage that I bought and never used. It weighs 80 pounds. It's everything I can do to pick it up off the garage floor if it's on the floor. And it's
we can do a demo. We'll have Frank stand on the ground and you can drop it off the roof on his head. Yeah. Just like a demo. This is what it's going to look like. Then have an ambulance waiting. Can you imagine hail like that? Like Sacrete, like concrete sacks. Well,
it'll destroy whatever's left on the earth.
Yeah, if you have a hailstorm like that, any building like this is disintegrated. Yeah. I mean, this is like, because you're talking reentry speeds, and I don't remember my physics, but it's fast. It's like the you know, terminal velocity, which you know Prince of the Geeks over here probably knows.
No, that I don't know.
You don't remember terminal velocity? He normally if I'm missing a piece of geekdom, he usually has it. So.
I just wonder if some of the population, like the citizens, have a choice, like with Kim Jong-un, whoever he is, in North Korea. Yeah.
Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
If his whole country gets wiped out, it's not the citizens' fault. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything wrong. They're probably some pretty good people. But, and in Egypt, when they wouldn't let the Israelites go, all the people suffered because of the kings.
I think that's what the angels are for. You know how the angels fly overhead and tell every single person? I think that even if you were in prison, or even if you were trapped underground in a mine collapse, or even if you were in North Korea and never got any word of anything, that they can do it. They can do a lot of stuff, but they can't stop an angel from flying overhead proclaiming the gospel. So you would be there, and it would be understandable by you, right? And they would fly overhead and they would explain the gospel to you, how Jesus died for your sins and how this works. Then the next angel would say, you know, Babylon's fallen. The earth is over. Your whole thing with Kim Jong, whatever, is done. It's all over. This is the end. And the last angel says, and if you don't listen to those other two guys, you're about to be suffering forever. So I think the point of that, and like I said, it's just an interpretation, but I think the point of that piece of Revelation 14 is the very last chance. Make sure every single person that's possibly left hiding in the wood or a cave in a prison cell that didn't have access, make sure every single person has the final last chance. And then it's right after those angels that the reaping happens, right? So you tell everybody, the last few people go, okay, I'm in. Sorry, I didn't hear that before, but I've been in prison, but I'm good. I'm good. Jesus, save me right now. I'm in. And then you reap everybody. And now, the hammer drops. Right?
That's why you need a new heaven and a new earth at some point.
Seriously, the old one's not there. You know, why does Jerusalem come down and there's a new heaven and earth? Because there's none, the old one's gone. It's nothing but craters and, you know, boil pus. I mean, it's over. Sorry, that's kind of gross. But, I mean, if every single person's covered in boils, there's going to be, you know, I'm just saying, there's going to be a lot of pus. But the point is, I mean, you've got nothing left. It's been scorched. It's got the rivers have been dried up and or turned to blood. Everything is blood. I mean, there's nothing left. And we could do this. That could be done. You know how a lot of times God works through man things? You know, like there'll be something going on like a Hitler or whatever, or a UN, and God's using stuff. We could do that. If we did something chemical or something bad, and you killed everything in the ocean, and all of that rotted, it would turn the ocean into dead men blood. We could accomplish that if we were horrible enough. You know, there's a bunch of ways. He could also do it magically, just like God says, pal, right? But he could also have things that we do turn into those things. Because we're capable of doing unbelievably horrible things. You know, we could scorch the earth. We have nuclear weapons, which are many suns, right? We can scorch the earth. So, you know, who knows what the beast... If the beast runs all the countries of the world, right? The king of the world, basically. And that means, theoretically, unless something weird happens, you know, between now and then, there are nuclear weapons and stuff. This person has access to all those things. I'm not convinced that in the last throes of anger that the devil wouldn't just say, okay, take it all out. Let's do it. Let's nuke the world. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're the king of the world and you're the fake Jesus of the devil and it's looking like the end's coming, why not destroy it all? I mean, there's a lot of ways those things could come to pass. They could be physical bowls in the hands of physical angels that pour out wrath. That's completely doable. This is God. He created the universe. He brought it, like my mom used to say to me, I brought you in the world, I can take you out. Okay? So, you know, he brought us into the world, he can take us out. So that's totally doable. But it also could be accomplished within the structures that already exist on the physical world. You know? So, anyway, sure hope that doesn't start Saturday. If it does, it's all good. I'll see you guys on the other side. We'll hang out. We'll sing a couple songs. We'll wait for the guys to show up on the Sea of Glass. It'll be fun. You know?
Have a big barbecue? Oh, wait.
That's later. The eternal barbecue is later. Anybody have any final questions or comments about this? As you read through straight, when you read Revelation straight through linearly, it becomes this overwhelming thing. It blows your mind. You see all this stuff about beasts and stuff. But I really am thankful to the Holy Spirit for guiding this Bible study, because it's put a structure that even if it's not all the details, at least the structure is really helping see it in a clear format where it's not, you know, so overwhelming. And then maybe later we can go back in our own time and study pieces of the puzzle more deeply. But really, this structure is amazing. And now we know we've got a linear thing happening, because we see those beasts arrive. Then we see the people that are serving the beast get judged. The other people get pulled. Then in Revelation 7, the one of the angels of the seven bowls is talking to him. So we know that we've got a linear section going on. So the Bible is telling us when it's linear and when it's not. The Revelation is telling us when there's a break in between the linear sections and when the sections are linear. So we're getting a lot of guidance, because Revelation 17 starts off with a phrase that tells you it follows 16. You know, it follows 15. There's like a line. And I'm just really grateful for that, because the first few times I read it, I didn't have that. And I read some guidebooks and some commentaries, and they didn't really do that. They didn't really provide a structure for me. I mean, I like them. They're useful. But they didn't really provide a structure as to how this thing was functioning, how it made sense. And I'm really grateful for that. I don't know, you know, I know that, I think that my final commentary on things like end time stuff, when we have all these hurricanes and all the earthquakes and all this stuff happens, my feeling is that it's all like warning shots, basically. It's all just warnings to us. We see 4 or 5 hurricanes lining up. Maybe it's not the end of the world. Maybe it's telling us it could be, you know. And everybody starts talking about the 23rd or the 20th or 2012 or whatever it is. Maybe it's not the end of the world, but it tells us it could be. So it's a continual warning for us to stay on our toes, you know, stay in the Word, stay in prayer, you know, repent and be right with the Lord, because you don't ever know. We could get to the 24th and everybody go, yay, it's definitely not the 24th, and that could be the day. Because the 23rd, everybody's like, oh, you know. And now, boom, 12:01 on the 24th, we're all out, right? So it could happen any second, any day. So I think when we see all these crazy alignments and things, it's warnings. You know, there's signs in the heavens. God's in charge of everything. He put planets where he put them, right? So when things line up like that and they give you these warnings and people start talking about it, you know, it's for us, for me at least, it means get back in prayer and be prepared just in case, right? We're probably going to meet next Wednesday. You know, I'm probably going to see you on Sunday. But hey, if we do get pulled, hopefully it'll be between 1 and 2 a.m. on the 23rd, because that's when we'll be singing. My wife and daughter will be on the stage. So you guys know how this works, right? Which is another, like, I don't know how it's all connected, but that's going into the day it's supposed to end. Our 24-hour prayer vigil is in the day it's supposed to end. So, you know, that's awesome. But we're supposed to be there. I think Victor's got a youth thing in the evening, like 10-ish or something, and then... But I think that our band plays, what, 1 to 2 a.m.?
1 to 2, yeah.
Yeah. So be at the main campus 1 to 2 a.m.
Sure. Okay.
I'll be there. I'm going to be there. Power to the people, man. My wife's going to be on stage. My daughter's going to be on stage. So, the 24-hour prayer vigil is going on into the day of this. So, you know, you can be there. I wouldn't mind being... hanging out, listening to the worship team singing when it ended. I'd be like, as long as I'm not, where is everybody?
Yeah.
That would be bad. Like, the music suddenly stops. There's like Anthony Drummond, and I'm like, oh no, dude, it's just me and you left. Come on. Come on. No, that'd be bad.
You know, I'm thankful that we have a, you know, better understanding of end times, because in the old days of Pentecost, there really wasn't as much understanding. There was a lot of kind of crazy teaching about the end. You know, I remember being told when I was a kid, when the rapture happens, that's your last chance. That's it. Everybody after that's in hell. And that, for a little kid, that kind of scares the gun wadding out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just not.
Yeah, especially if you didn't get raptured.
Well, yeah, I mean, the doctrine wasn't really right, but it's what a lot of the old time Pentecost, which tended to be pretty hard edged anyway. You know, there was a lot of banging on the pulpit and screaming and hollering, and people getting saved every service. And I know I've been saved 3,407 times,
at least.
Good thing.
Yeah. That's true. If you pull out the sections where there's a rapture type of event happening without the structure that we've been looking at, and you think they're all different descriptions at the same time, then you get to something like this and you think, okay, those guys that are on that glass, that's the original rapture. It's just a repeating of the rapture, right? And that means that everybody else left. So that's where you get that thing. But the reason I don't think it says that is because it talks about the people that were denying the beast. And we know from before that the people are gone before the beast. Yeah. So now you've got people that were denying the beast power. So it's almost like a rapture, then a reaping. and then the final judgment. So it's sort of like a multi-trib, kind of a, like a multi-rapture, multi-trib kind of thing going on. But yeah, but you can read them in all kinds of different ways. This whole thing could be straight through linear. You know, this whole thing could be different repetitions of the same events. But I think we've, you know, like I said, I didn't get this from a book, and I didn't come up with it like intellectually analyzing it. So I think that we've got a little word from the Holy Spirit helping us structure this where we can really see kind of clearly. Because for me, it's making me feel a whole lot better. It's making me calmer in dealing with the book. It's making me more confident, even more confident in God, where He is and how the throne room works and how being what we are works. I mean, it's increasing my not only knowledge of text, but really my feelings, you know, my comfort level when it comes to the end times. Because I had the same thing. I mean, I'm from Southern Baptist. We had tent revivals. Mm-hmm. And if we ever talked about Revelation, it was pretty much just the end. You know, you're one way or the other, and then boom, it's over. You know, and it wasn't, you know, dealt with really in any complex way.
Yeah, it was almost like you were scared of it.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time when I was a little scared. You know, my first altar call, I was 7 in a tent revival. I'm pretty sure because he was talking about I was going to burn in hell if I wasn't. Running to the front, and so I was like, I'm not taking any chances, you know. And I've been saved like probably at least 1,500 times, like half the times Andy has, but you know, it's like that. It's like that. Every time you go, you learn more. Like, you know, when do you do, you know, X, Y, and Z? We're talking to people about whether it's baptism or whether it's, you know, the end times, how it functions. And for me, it's really been enlightening because of the goodness of God. I mean, you can't give people more chances. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like boom, over. It was like chance after chance. You know, he does that. You know what it is to me, Revelation? It's like a reflection of Israel. Remember how we would always give Israel chances over and over again? Like they would screw everything up, then he would give them another chance. Then they lost the Bible at one point. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Then they found it in a back storeroom. Like, oh wow, the Bible. I mean, what? You know, it's like they just keep messing up. They go into slavery in Babylon. They come back. It's like, come on, guys. And it's just God. He just wants to save everyone. He loves everyone. He is love. He wants to save everyone. So he's going to give them down to the last minute, down to the last guy who's like, I don't care if you're God. I still don't want anything to do with you. Down to those people. And then it's over. But he's just so good and so loving. And this echoes, instead of echoing the dangers and the scary part to me, it echoes his forgiveness over and over to me. Like, if you can be one of those guys that's in that situation and live through it, I mean, he can deal with our transgressions. He can deal with our, you know, crappy lives where we did whatever we did. He can forgive that. If he can forgive all of that, he can forgive us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's super hopeful. You know, even though there's a bunch of crazy the stuff in it, it's super hopeful for me.
You know, one of the things.
You know, I totally agree. We're getting answers. I mean, we are getting some answers.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are alive in that time, whether they're Muslim, Buddhist, whoever, that's included in this whole picture, right? So they all get the warnings, whether it's the rapture, whether it's whatever. And if the Christians say there's going to be a rapture and suddenly a ton of Christians are missing, the Buddhists and Muslims, a lot of them are going to go, wait a minute, right? So there's that. And then there's the locusts, and then there's the angels flying overhead telling you the gospel. The angels tell the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, which means that everyone will hear that. It doesn't matter what religion they are or lack of religion or where they're located. So at the end time, but what happens with the previous people? And I think we may get an answer later for that, because there's a final throne judgment that's going to deal with everybody that's ever living, ever been alive or dead. And you go through Jesus at that final judgment, and I don't know. I think maybe he looks at your heart, or you get one last chance. You're standing before Jesus, and he's like, you know, and you're like, you're Jesus. I love you. Please save me right now. you know, maybe that's what happens. I don't know. Maybe there's one last chance. Here I am. What are you going to do? Because there'll still be people, I guarantee you, even if that was true, and everybody's lined up at the white throne and they stand up before Jesus one at a time, I guarantee you, and I probably know a couple of these guys, they'll get before Jesus. They're like, so you're Jesus, huh? I ain't buying it. Like, but I'm Jesus. Yeah, whatever. Okay, get over there. See ya.
Yeah.
I guarantee there's people that are that stubborn that'd be like, nah, you know I'm looking you in the face, but I'm going to take a pass. I don't want to be like everybody else. Or whatever. You know, they're going to have some excuse. It's like that. It's, you know, there's people that are like that. People that have so much hate in them that they can't get over. You know, there'll be Muslims, for instance, that hate Christians so much that even if they see Jesus, they'll still refuse because they'll be so mad. You know, and I mean, all we can do is pray and hope the Holy Spirit moves in as many hearts and souls as possible until it's all over, because we want the majority. Like I was saying about me and Buck bumping into each other and not being able to come up with anybody we could think of that's not there. That's the goal, is to not be in heaven weeping over somebody. I have a feeling a lot of us are going to be weeping, but hopefully we can get as, you know, as many as we can. I don't know. But that's why missionaries and people like that are so gung-ho, because they think like that all the time. You know, we just got 105 new students started today or this week in YWAM. 105 new people between like 18 and 24 that have all dedicated their life to going all throughout the world to work for God, right? 105 new students. And 100 staffers, so you've got over 200 people, breakfast, lunch, and dinner happening at the school right now, which is hardcore. But you think about that and those people and their dedication, and that's why, because they see that. They're like, I don't want to die. This one girl told me, I don't want to die and know anybody that at least we didn't try, you know, because if I'm on the other side going, oh, crap, Joanne, you know, I don't want to be like that. And maybe it's not going to be like that. Who knows what God's going to do? It's going to be all joy, so there's probably not going to be a whole lot of time for that kind of pain anyway. I don't know what it'll look like exactly, but it is. That's what's driving so many people throughout the world, you know. That's why every penny of, you know, coffee money goes to missions, because there's like 6,000 groups still to talk to. You know, there's a lot of people that still need to hear the word. Anyway, man, this is fun. I love Revelation. Anybody have any final comments before we pray? Thanks for coming. And I know things are crazy this week, but hang in there. And I'll see you guys at 1 a.m. or Sunday or Monday or whenever. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time. You are so amazing. Everything about you, about the Word, about who you are, about the past, present, and future is just so astounding to us. The length and the breadth and just the size of you and your kingdom and what you're doing. We can't even get our head around it. We just love studying it. We love talking about the Word. We love coming together and meeting like this. And we just thank you for that time, for your Word, and for this ability to be together in community and as a church and as a small group and just talking about these things. And we just are so grateful. Lord, bless everyone here. Protect them as they come and go. Protect their minds and hearts. If this is the time this week, then I want to see everybody here on the other side, Lord. So bless and touch and grow inside of every single person here and protect them. If this happens soon, Lord, we welcome it. We want you home. We want you to come. So we welcome these times, but please help our minds and hearts be right. And please, Lord, please touch those around us. Give us opportunities to witness and give us opportunities to talk to others and just bless those people in our lives that may be on the edge or the fence or not truly know you. Holy Spirit, go into their lives and touch them and let them know you are real and you're true. And use us if you can in something like that. We're ready to do whatever you want. Have your way with us as individuals, as families, and as a church. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for this time, and we pray a special blessing on the finances and the health and the travel of everyone here. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.